Okay, good morning, all. So first of all, thank you to the Barron family for not just sponsoring the food, but also being being the reason why we have this shiur this morning, a little extra Torah learning, because Maury just said I would love to have a little extra Torah here in the Young Israel. So I said, okay, sure, let's do it. So thank you so much. If anyone ever...
So he's the one?
He is the reason, yeah. You can thank him later. So if anyone else has any other thoughts of when we could have more shiur and more Torah learning opportunities and they'd like me to give a shiur, please just feel free to come over and let me know. You don't necessarily have to sponsor breakfast to convince me, but it would be a nice treat. Okay, so let's jump right in over here. So we're speaking about Kennedy celebrating New Year's, and obviously it's a little bit of a odd way of going about doing things, because if you look at the flyer that I have, so you see that it says January 1st, 2019 on it. So obviously, the conclusion of the shiur will be that it is permissible to celebrate and or to at least note the fact that there is a new year. But the question is how do we really get there? Where do we see the permissibility to allow using the non-Jewish, the secular calendar? So the truth is, just before we even get to that, so there are two questions that you can imagine with the general question of can you celebrate New Year's? And the number one question is, can you go to a New Year's party? Can you go to the ball dropping? A midtown, something like that. We're not going to be discussing that so much today, but keep that question in the back of your heads for another time, maybe. And maybe it's just better that way, so we don't discuss it right now. But the second question, which we'll be spending the majority of our time speaking about, is the permissibility of using a secular calendar. And that is that before we even jump into the question of if it is permissible to use a secular calendar, the question really is we have our own calendar. If I were to ask everyone in this room right here, right now, what is the Jewish date, what would you say?
24th of Tishrei.
Okay, for those of us who don't have Yahrzeit today.
We have a secular division of the Torah that we use.
What do you mean?
The Torah is divided up by non-Jews in chapters.
Okay.
We use that. So if we can use a secular division of the Torah, why couldn't we use a secular division of the year?
Well, those are apples and oranges, right? To say that I have a Torah printed by a non-Jewish printer, so I can't use that... That would kind of be, a bit of a stretch, especially since they were the only ones printing for the longest time. But to say that we shouldn't be able to benefit from certain things that the other nations of the world produce, such as their calendars, that's not such a crazy extension. That's the whole concept of Chukas Oglim, that we shouldn't follow in their ways. We'll speak about that for a little bit. So to say that I shouldn't be able to use a secular calendar, it's not such a crazy concept. Well, but the tension is obviously there, because obviously we do all use that calendar, right? Every single person in this room, I'm sure, knows the English date. I hope you know the English date, at least. This is New Year's. But the Hebrew date, it's a little bit hard to say that every single Jewish person knows the Hebrew date. Every single, even the most devout Orthodox Jew who comes to Minyan three times a day and does everything the right way, the odds are not every single Orthodox Jew knows the Hebrew date. That's one. Yeah.
One other thing, actually, the solar year wasn't invented by God. It was invented by God.
Okay, good.
So therefore,
So that's a separate point. It's a good point to say that just if we base a calendar, if the Jewish people were, would get up and base a calendar on the sun, then that may not be such an issue, because the sun was obviously invented by God, and if we want to have a calendar based on that, there should be no issue with that. The question here, obviously, is no, that's not what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a calendar that was made by the other nations of the world. It was not made by the Jewish people. And in particular, we'll see in a moment, we're also talking about a calendar here that may be related to idol worship and things like that, and therefore how do you grapple with that? And so just before we jump into some of the sources over here, so just a great story. There's a certain Rosh Yeshiva in NYU who, just to kind of prove our points here of why this is such an important question, there's a certain Rosh Yeshiva in NYU who wasn't so big into using computers, didn't really know how to write and use a computer at all. So we had one of his students, a friend of a friend of mine, type up a letter for him on the computer. And so the guy sits down. I think it was his first time doing it. And of course, a very good letter, you have the date on top. So the friend of mine writes the letter, or whatever it was, November 12th, 2012. And all of a sudden, the Rosh Yeshiva comes from behind me and says, "Please remove Yashka from the page." And the guy was obviously very... scared by that, so he quickly deleted the date. But the point was clear that this Rosh Yeshiva believed that to use the secular date seemingly linked this letter that he was writing to Jesus, and then he deemed that to be inappropriate. Ira, you look very perturbed.
How do you book a doctor appointment?
Oh, okay, good. So
what are you doing on the 4th of Adar?
Okay, so Ira is bringing up a fantastic point, right? So not only do we need the calendar, because the secular calendar, because that's just the dates that all of us know, you know, more than Jewish dates, which that could be a question, but just for functionality, if you want to live in the real world, then you have to know what the secular dates are. I will say that, for example, my niece and nephews living in Ramat Eshkol, they have no idea what the secular dates are. They only celebrate their Hebrew birthdays when the rest of my family calls them up and wishes them a happy birthday on whenever their English birthday is. Their mother, my sister-in-law, tells them, just reminds them that it's their birthday because they totally forgot. They have no idea. So in Israel, for example, it's a little bit more common for a person not to use the secular dates and to rather just use the Hebrew dates. I remember just one more story. I had a chavrusa, or a mentor, when I was in yeshiva in Israel, and this particular mentor had no idea. He just could not grapple what January and February, like when they happened, like the same way that all of us look with confusion when all the Hebrew dates are. He had the same perspective when it came to English dates. So it does exist that there are people in the world, particularly in Israel, use only Hebrew dates and not so much English dates. So.
But when we have a Shana Mubarak, so it's based on, I mean, to some extent, it's based on catching up the solar calendar, the lunar calendar with the solar.
Okay, so good point. Good point. So
it's not like we're just following the Goyim. We are actually, we need to add a month periodically, otherwise we'll have Pesach in September. And,
okay, good. So it's a good point. The reason Maury's bringing up, we have a leap year on the Jewish calendar, just so that seemingly that we can catch up with the solar calendar. But the truth is, it's not so much that you want to make sure that Pesach doesn't fall in September. It's more that we want to make sure that Pesach falls in the spring. Right, so that's not the solar calendar, that's more just the seasonal calendar, which, you know, that's just the reality of the world, that we want to make sure that all the chagim fall on various seasons for a specific reason, so therefore we need to make a leap year to make sure that everything falls in the right time of year.
But we're still chasing the solar, that's what I meant. That's the part. We're still chasing the solar calendar.
But I wouldn't even say that.
More leap years were in the Jewish calendar were created before the Gregorian calendar anyway.
Right,
it's not so much that we're
cheating. Right, that's right. That's my point. So it's not really the
Goyish. It's
okay,
term,
good.
So much. Equinox, they're trying to
come. That's why I'm surprised when he said take the Goyish. Well, you know what,
Let's start looking at some of the sources over here. So in case you're wondering, what are we talking about at all? So just to make sure we're all on the same page. Do people know what January 1st, 2019 is? So that's 2019 years. So 2019 years since what?
Somebody got bored.
Right, oh, yeah, right. Debbie said the birth of Jesus. Okay, great. So let's take a look at source number one. It's just a few excerpts from a Wikipedia page. Sorry? Let's take a look over here. Okay, so take a look at source number one. So the terms Anno Domini, which is AD, and before Yashka, are used to label or number years in the Julian and Gregorian calendars. The term Anno Domini is medieval Latin and means in the year of the Lord, but is often presented using our Lord instead of the Lord, taken from the full original phrase Anno Domini Nostri, whatever, okay, which translates in the year of our Lord, Yashka. This calendar era is based on the traditionally reckoned year of the conception or birth of Jesus of Nazareth, with AD counting years from the start of this epoch and BC denoting years before the start of the era. There is no year zero in the scheme, so the year AD 1 immediately follows the year 1 BC. This dating system was devised in 525 by Dionysius Exegesus of Scythia Minor, but was not widely used until after 800. Okay, then there was a part that I took out. The date of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth is not stated in the Gospels or in any secular text, but most scholars assume a date of birth between 6 BC and 4 BC. So, stopping for 1 second. So, the Gregorian calendar, that says it quite explicitly, that the Gregorian calendar is based on the birth of Jesus. So, that means every single time we say a English date, when we see January 1st, 2019, that means we're saying very explicitly, it's been 2019 years since Jesus was born. So what's the issue with that? Oh, okay, we'll get there in a second. But assuming that that was when he was born, what's the issue with us saying that?
We're celebrating his birthday.
Right, we're celebrating Jesus' birthday. Who was Jesus? The leader of Christianity. What's Christianity? I don't know. Paganism. Certainly not Judaism, right? We got that far. Okay, good. So Stan's bringing up a good point. Maybe Jesus in his lifetime wasn't necessarily the leader of Christianity. He was maybe starting a separate Jewish sect, or he did whatever he did, but it wasn't necessarily Christianity yet. Good, we'll get there in a little bit. But Jesus certainly nowadays, in the year 2019, is a viewed as the leader of the Christian religion. In general, just for a very quick 20-second explanation of how Judaism views Christianity. So the general perspective that we have on Christianity is that for Christians, they are not necessarily violating the laws of idolatry when they are following Christianity, when they are following Jesus. However, Jews, if they were to follow Christianity, then it would be an issue of idol worship. The reason why is based on an idea called Shituf, developed by the Meiri, one of our Rishonim, and that is that there is a concept that you can have a partnership believing in God and someone else. So Christians believe in they have the Trinity, right? So that means they believe in the three sort of deities. So they are allowed to believe in that partnership between God and other deities. That does not constitute as idol worship, says the Meiri. But for Jews, if we would believe in some sort of a partnership, some sort of a three-pronged system of that God is one of three parts in charge, then that would be idol worship for us. And therefore, for us, Christianity is considered idol worship. That's where the problem of going into a church all falls in. And again, not for our discussion right now. So again, if we believe that the calendar is based on Jesus, and every single time we say the date, we are basically proclaiming that this is the date of Jesus, then that is a big issue, because that means that we're saying that there is value in this guy, aka he is the deity, and we care about the fact that he's the deity because we're noting how many years and how many days that he has been gone, or that rather since he's been born. So therefore, that would be the issue. Debbie brought up a moment ago, what did we just say? When do the scholars point out that Jesus was probably born? Not the year one or the year zero, a few years later. So we'll see, right? Because that's
earlier.
Yeah, sorry. Good, a few years earlier. Thank you. So that would come.
2 centuries is different. It could be between fourth century and or sixth century before. So it's basically a span of.
So this is not saying cent. These are just saying years. We'll see in a second that there is a Gemara that seems to assume that Jesus was actually born a couple hundred years earlier. We'll deal with that in a second. But based on this Wikipedia entry, right, the fact that Jesus might not have been born the year one or the year zero, what that does for us, and we'll see some of the poskim later, we'll discuss this, that since the calendar is not accurate and that it has not been specifically 2019 years since his birth, that means the whole thing is just Narishkeit, right? Some guy made up at some point back in the day that this was when he was born, and therefore we shouldn't be able to follow the calendar, but it's not true, right? Because he wasn't born 2019 years ago, he was born 2023 years ago or something like that, and therefore that we'll see that will be one leniency to rely on the secular calendar. So take a look at source number two. So source number two is a Gemara in Sota. I think it starts at the bottom of your page. Source number two is a Gemara in Sota. And what this Gemara does, so you'll notice explicitly, if you look through the Hebrew part of it, there is no explicit mention of Jesus. However, most people seem to assume that this Gemara is referring to him. So let's take a look at the English. Let's look at the story over here. So source number two, the Gemara in Sota, Mem Zion, Mem Aleph. The Gemara returns to the incident in which Yehoshua ben Parachia turned away Jesus the Nazarene. What is this incident? When King Yanai was killing the sages, Shimon ben Shatach was hidden by his sister, Yanai's wife, while Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia went and fled to Alexandria of Egypt. When peace was made between Yanai and the sages, Shimon ben Shatach sent him the following letter: "From myself, Jerusalem, the holy city, to you, Alexandria of Egypt, my sister, my husband, dwells within you, and I am sitting desolate." Rishon ben Parachia said, "I can learn from it that there is peace, and I can return." When he came back to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yeshua arrived at a certain inn. The innkeeper stood before him, honoring him considerably, and overall, they accorded him great honor. Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia then sat and was praising them by saying, "How beautiful is this inn." Jesus the Nazarene, one of his students, which is interesting, said to him, "My teacher, but the eyes of the innkeeper's wife are narrow." Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia said to him, "Wicked one, is that what you are engaged in, gazing at women?" He brought one 400 shofros and excommunicated him. Every day Jesus would come before him, but he would not accept his wish to return. One day Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia was reciting Shema when Jesus came before him. He intended to accept him on this occasion, so he signaled to him with his hand to wait, right? So he was coming, walking towards him. He said, just hold on 1 second, I'm in the middle of Shema. Jesus thought, he saw him put his hand up, and just like every other day he rejected him. He thought he was rejecting him entirely. He therefore went and stood up a brick and worshipped it as an idol. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia had said to him, return from your sins. Jesus said to him, this is the tradition that I receive from you. Anyone who sins and causes the masses to sin is not given the opportunity to repent. The Gemara explains how he caused the masses to sin, for the master said, Jesus the Nazarene performed sorcery, and he incited the masses and subverted the masses and caused the Jewish people to sin. Fascinating story in many ways. Maybe to be further analyzed at another point, what is one thing in particular that we can draw out of this story that will be relevant to our discussion regarding the true dating of Jesus, of when he was actually born? What do we know? Jesus had to live in the same time as Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia, right? So when did he live? Centuries before into the BCE era. And if that's the case, that means Jesus is not, he was not born 2019 years ago. That means he was born maybe 2300 years ago. And if that's the case, that means the calendar is totally out of whack. So Rabbi Leibowitz, he's not in DRS anymore? Anyone know? Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, is he still on DRS? Where? Okay, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, an old Rebbe of mine from DRS, has an article about this entitled Using Secular Dates. So take a look at source number 3. He says, if we are to accept the Gemara's account at face value, we encounter a major historical problem. According to Talmudic tradition, Hillel was a student of a student of a student of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Parachia, and Hillel served as Nasi 100 years before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, which occurred in the secular year of 69 CE. Which means, if we're talking about a student of a student of a student, that means if Jesus had to have been alive a couple hundred years before. So clearly, according to the Talmudic account, Jesus dies many years before the beginning of the secular calendar, in a period at most a century following the events of the story of Hanukkah, approximately 235 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The rabbinic authorities have taken two basic approaches to deal with the discrepancy between the Talmudic and secular historical accounts of when Jesus lived and died. So, again, this is not only just a issue regarding the calendar and how we approach the calendar, but it's also an issue just regarding the validity of the Gemara, right? If the Gemara is seemingly talking about Jesus, which again, it generally is assumed to be speaking about Jesus, even though his name is never explicitly said, how can we rely on a Gemara that's totally out of whack? Or someone has to be wrong here. Either the Jews are wrong in the dating in the Gemara, or the Christians are wrong. And the truth is, if you look at there's always, you know, some level of politics when it comes to writing down history, but the Christians were very good at guarding a lot of historical facts, so it would not look so good for the Jews. So what are the answers given by various mafarshim? So A, the conspiracy theory. Ravid notes the contradiction between the historical and Talmudic account and strongly stands by the accuracy of the Talmudic tradition. Abarbanel suggests that the Christians have falsified the true dates in order to make it appear as if the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash occurred soon after Jesus' death, thereby implying that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was punishment for killing Jesus. So in other words, the Gemara is wrong. The Gemara is right. The Christians are wrong. They were just playing around with the dates so that things would look better, you know, many thousands of years later. Their theology would be a lot more intact. That's one perspective. The second perspective is the second Jesus theory. This is fascinating. Sefer HaDorot suggests that there were two people named Jesus who were both killed. The Talmudic account above refers to a different Jesus than the one who has been deified by so many people. Right? So these two perspectives allow us to therefore say that the Gemara may not be totally wrong. What is the Gemara referring to? Well, either the Gemara is right and the Christians got it wrong because for theological reasons, they wanted to push Jesus' death closer to the Beis HaMikdash, or there's this perspective that they're actually, listen, could it be that there were two guys named Jesus in the history of the world? Yeah, very well could be. What, you think Jesus was the only guy named Jesus? Of course not. So therefore, since there must have been some other guy named Jesus, what? Is it so crazy to believe that there were two guys named Jesus that were also total, you know, rejectors of the Torah? Again, not such a crazy thought. It's like you have two guys named Yankel that both don't believe in God anymore. The same idea could be with tending to Jesus's, and therefore, this second perspective just says no. The Gemara is talking about an earlier Jesus. There was a second one later that was around the time of the proper dating of the calendar as we know it nowadays. So, what we've done so far is that we've created a theoretical loophole that allows us to say that maybe, even if there, let's say it would be totally prohibited to have a calendar that exactly dated us to Jesus' birth. So, for example, let's say a couple of years ago I was in Utah, and in Utah I learned a lot about John Smith, the founder of the Mormon movement. So let's say we had a calendar, which I don't know, maybe there isn't, but let's say we did have a calendar that goes back to dating to John Smith's birth date.
I guess I
didn't learn that much. So Joseph Smith. So Joseph. See, no one corrected me.
We thought we had it wrong.
So you have Joseph Smith. So let's say we had a calendar that went to his birthday. So Joseph Smith, as far as I understand, Sam, correct me if I'm wrong, he is a certain form of a deity, right, in their mind, right?
Well, he's a prophet.
Prophet. Okay, well, we can go back and forth. But in theory, maybe if you had a calendar, right, that's just in the 1800s. So if you had a calendar that went back to his birthday, which, again, is historically probably a lot easier to track that, so maybe that would be a real problem. But Jesus, no one actually can pinpoint his exact birth date. And since that's the case, so maybe our calendar, even if it would be totally prohibited to have a calendar based off of his birthday, since we are not sure, or very likely do not use a calendar that is based off of his exact birth date, so therefore maybe it would be totally permissible because of that. So that is one general perspective that we'll see in a few sources that we can have, that even if it would be totally prohibited, it is not, because it's just not an exact number. And if it's not an exact number, then it truthfully is just meaningless. Okay, so now, so after dealing with the historicity, right, to see if it is true or not true, the actual calendar dating that we have, the real question is there really an issue in Judaism of saying that you can use a secular calendar? So, any thoughts? Can we use a secular calendar? Just kind of throwing the idea out there. What do you think? Do you think Judaism would be for or against it?
I think some would be for, some would be against.
Okay, why would some... okay, good. But why would some be against?
Because there's certain X amount of Jews who's basically will not have any association or affiliation with anything remotely not Jewish.
Okay, so you're saying just simply because
it's
of the fact...
It's an exclusion issue.
Yeah. Okay, good. So simply because... isolationist, if you will. Yeah. Simply because of the fact that it's not Jewish, so we wouldn't even want to touch it or look at it. Okay, good. Yeah.
There are two parts of the calendar. There's January 1st, and then there's 1990, whatever.
Okay.
2019.
Yeah.
So there's certainly no reason not to use January, February, March, April, because that's based on the solar revolution. So you don't say what year it is. It's today's January 1st, and it'll be April 23rd, and my birthday is December. I'm not telling you. But without the year.
So Howie brings up a fascinating point. He says that there are two parts of the calendar year, of the regular date. We have the months, and then we have the years. So the years, if you want to say they're totally tainted because they go back to Jesus, fine, so maybe just don't use the years. Maybe every now and again you'll have to write down the actual year. But in general, you can get by pretty well if you just use the month. What's the problem with just using the months? What are the months based off of?
The deities, right.
So the months, in theory, by the way, could be more problematic than the year. Because if the year is in doubt of how it's connected to Jesus, the months themselves are very clearly named after various deities. Not some of them, right? We know that July and August are named after, right? Julius and Augustus.
Yeah, right. Well, I was going to say, the months, we use a lot of Persian names for months.
Okay, good, right. That's a good question for another point. But yeah, so the point that Howie brings up over here is that even if the year would be okay, then the months themselves might not be permissible. So again, so this is our general question that we're going to have to grapple with over the next few sources. Does Judaism have an issue with using a secular calendar? And the answer, by the way, the flat-out answer is no. We have no issue with using a secular calendar. But the problem is, that we'll see in just a few moments, that there's two types of calendars. There is a secular calendar, and then a calendar based off of idol worship, right? You can have, if I just decided to wake up one morning, if the Greek society wants to wake up, and they decided to set up a calendar based on whatever mathematics that the philosophers, decided, okay, great, there's no issue with that at all. The issue would be, is if you have a calendar that's based off of some sort of a deity. And if it's based off of a deity, then that's where the real issue comes in. So let's take a look at source number four. So source number four is the Rambam. And there are several sources that we could quote over here, but this one says it pretty clearly. And we'll take a look at the English. So the Rambam in Hilchos Geirushin, talking about when a person writes a get for someone else. So he says, and similarly, It was established that they write the date of the current kingdom on a geth because of peace in the kingdom. Right? To use the date of that a certain kingdom based on their calendar would be totally permissible. If you use the dating of a kingdom from a different country, or you use the dating based on the building of destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, again, just a separate calendar count. If this is what most people do, then this is a kosher get. And if this is not how they usually do it, then it is invalid. And all Jews already have the custom to put the dates on Gittin from the beginning of creation or from the kingdom of Alexander, since this is how documents are dated. So quite simply, says the Rambam, you want to have a date from Alexandria based on their calendar? Okay, who cares? No issue at all. If that's what everyone's doing, then you can totally go ahead and do that. The issue we'll see in a moment is now, when you don't have just a secular calendar, but you have a religious calendar, if you will, again, based off of the dating of a deity. So, as we said just before, so the real issue with the Gregorian calendar is that it seemingly is based off of Christianity, which again, from our perspective, would be a sense of idol worship. And so what's the big issue with that? So let's say have a calendar that's based off of a deity. Is that really a prohibition? Where in the Torah does it say that I can't use a date determined based on one of the deities? Take a look at source number 5. So source number 5 is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It says explicitly, says the Gemara, the Torah says this. It says, "Titania v'shem Elokim achirim lo taskiru." The Gemara quoting the Pasuk in, I believe, Mishpatim, says that you cannot refer to the names of the other gods. So what does this mean? Shelo yomar adam l'chaviru shamor li b'tzad avodat kuchav emplonit. That a guy should not tell his friend, guard me, or seemingly means something like, meet me next to the following church, right? A person that wants to say that Bagel Boss is just down the block right past the Greek Orthodox Church, that could be a huge Isser Daraisa. It's not very well recommended to say, to guide people based on a certain marking point of a place of idol worship. So what we can then pull out of this is that if I can't tell my friends to meet me by the place of idol worship, then can I use a calendar date that is based off of saying that it's January 1st, 2019, 2019 years later, since Jesus, since a idol worshiper, if you will. So take a look at source number 6, that's the Maharam Shik. He writes as follows, I'll just take a look at the English. That which people do, that they write the number of years with the months in the way of idol worshippers, this is a double sin, because the counting of their months is not the same as the Jewish count of months, and the counting of years goes based on the counting of Jesus. According to my understanding, this is a Torah prohibition, because it says in Parshas Mishpatim, and the names of other gods you shall not mention. So he says that it's totally... it's going to be a huge issue to use this calendar because two reasons, right? The months are bad, the year is bad because it's all based on idol worship, and therefore to use any of it is a huge, huge issue. Okay, what do we think so far?
Not so good.
Not so good. It's not looking so good for us. No, not good news for the Jews. So take a look at source number 7 at the Tzitz Eliezer of Eliezer Wolderberg, a modern posek. He says as follows. You might have read the Maharam Shik and gotten terrified, but he says, don't worry too much, because it appears that we can say that the Maharam Shik only prohibits the usage of secular dates if you say explicitly that this is the counting of the years since Jesus. For example, if you would conclude that the date with the letters that imply this, saying AD, but if you just wrote the date, then you have not violated the prohibition. You have simply disgraced the Jewish calendar by choosing the calendar of the other nations. So there are two levels over here, says the Tzitz Eliezer. There is choosing not to use the Jewish calendar and choosing to use the Gregorian calendar. If you choose to use the Gregorian calendar, then it's only an issue, says the Tzitz Eliezer, if I say that what is January 1st, 2019? Well, it's January 1st, 2019 AD, after Yashka came along. But let's say, I just say it's January 1st, 2019, not denoting at all the fact that it's related to Jesus. Right? If you would ask the average person on the street, what is January 1st, 2019? They would say, I don't know. They would say, that's just what the calendar is. Most people would, in general, not make reference to the fact that this is related to Yashka. And therefore, there should be no issue at all if I just want to say January 1st, 2019 without saying AD. That's why people have the custom to say... BCE or CE, right? Before Common Era or just Common Era, right? Because that terminology makes no reference to Yashka whatsoever. It's just saying these are the general years that we use. There's the Common Era, there's before the Common Era. That's all you need. And then it takes care of all the issues that the Maharam Shik would seemingly take issue with. Now, there is the second issue, says the Tzitz Eliezer, which he kind of seemingly almost like passive-aggressively says, listen, you could do it. It's totally permitted, totally permissible. However, if you're going to do it, just so you know, you're disgracing the Jewish calendar that we have spent thousands of years trying to build. That's all you're doing. So that's the Eliezer's point. It's not usur, it's not forbidden, not prohibited to use the secular calendar, but, I mean, come on, you're really going to do that to the Jewish calendar? You're not going to use the Jewish calendar? So we'll get back to him in a few moments. We'll see what the perspective is vis-a-vis, if it's not forbidden, does that mean it's permissible? Because I'm disgracing the Jewish calendar. We'll get back to that in a second, but Maury, you had a question.
We're only talking about like ketubot or stuff or gittin. We're not talking about regular documents that you have to file with the
Well, so government. So seemingly we're talking about anything. Seemingly we're talking
about could you do a Jewish calendar with the town of Hempstead
It's the fourth of Adar, right now. Right. Okay. So it's a fantastic question. That's really the issue that we have to deal with. So meaning
you're including that though.
Yeah. That's certainly the overarching question. Listen, it becomes a lot more official for me to write down the date. So if I take a document and I write down January 1st, 2019, that's a lot more official than me just saying out loud January 1st, 2019. But writing on a document is kind of like, if it's forbidden to say it, then for sure it's forbidden to write it as well. Now, how would you go about living in any non-Jewish country, aka anywhere but Israel? That's really the huge issue, right? That's why, listen, full disclosure, at the end of the day, we're going to conclude that it's permissible to use the secular date, right? I hope that was obvious because on my flyers, I use secular dates, right? But the flyer for this event, I use a secular date, right? So it's clearly going to be permissible, but the question really is how can we really get around it? That's really the overarching question. For sure, it's permitted, but how do we do that?
But we think Maharam Shik would say you cannot use a secular calendar if you're filing something with the Hungarian...
Again, so the Tzitz Eliezer says no, that's not what the Maharam Shik really meant, only if you use it as a point of reference to saying by saying AD. But some might say no, it's an issue. Yamina.
How does the Tzitz Eliezer's rationale work? Just because you disassociated by not saying AD, so all of a sudden you're not counting, but
okay.
You're obviously the counting.
Okay, good question. So I think the perspective has to be, and if anyone else has any thoughts on this, I'd be happy to hear it, but I think it's just quite simply that the average person in the world has no idea what the date means. Right, I remember. I only learned a few years ago what that 2019 means. That it's 2019 years since Jesus. So, if you go to Bagel Boss right now, ask the average Jewish, non-Jewish person what the date means. Some might know, some might not know. And so, it's not really that we're just putting on some blindfolds and saying we don't really see it in front of us. It's that in general, most people really don't view it like that. We're just saying that this is the secular calendar and that this is what the rest of the world uses. So we're using it, but we don't care that it's a reference to Jesus. And in fact, most people don't even know that it's a reference to him.
So then why can't you make the same argument for using a church as a
monument? Why?
Because we don't know what it really is. You know, we're just referring to the building as a...
No, but those are two different things. The church, everyone knows what's going on in the church. Maybe not actually what's going on, but everyone knows that seemingly there is some sort of Christianity happening there, and that means there's seemingly some sort of avodah zarah that would be happening inside. So to use the church as a point of reference is a clear reference point for a beit avodah zarah, but to say that the calendar is that, most people just don't know what the calendar is.
But then there is another issue.
What about mosque? Okay, good. So again, that's a great question. Not for right now, but yeah, people have the same issue or non-issue because it's not as much of a beit avodah zarah. Again, not for right now. Yeah, Seth.
So the division into 365 days, I mean, it's Gregorian, but it's also Aztec, and there are other solar-based cultures that have developed the same cycle.
Yes.
So part of it is just naming it, and, you know, that really is, it's in my mind, it's not so much even naming it, because you could, you know, if you speak Aztec, you can number an Aztec. If you speak, you know, derivatives of the Roman language, you can use the Roman names. The question is, can you celebrate January 1 as the start of the new year, and what are you celebrating?
So it's an interesting point. I think you're connecting them a little too much. Right. So, in other words, right, celebrating the new year, that is its own question. But even if I use January 1st, 2019, even if I know what the equivalent of that is in the Aztec calendar, right? It doesn't make a difference. I'm still saying it's January 1st, 2019 years since Jesus was born, right? If I use the Aztec date and there's no Avodah Zarah connections with that, then that would be seemingly totally okay, right? There's no intrinsic issue with using a solar calendar. It happens to be that we believe in using a lunar calendar, and that's what our Jewish calendar is based off. But the secular calendar, the solar calendar, if we, the young Israel of America, decided tomorrow that we want to start our own new solar calendar, 365 days a year, we'll name our own months, right? They'll be named after board members, and various things like that. That would be totally permissible. There would be no issue with that whatsoever.
Yeah, no, interesting though. I haven't yet heard anybody call this calendar the Christian calendar. We're calling it the secular calendar, meaning it's not religious.
Right.
Just, well, you know, that's what everybody refers to it. It's the secular calendar. It's not religious.
Right.
We have a family group app. Every single birthday on Kenny's day. On every birthday.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of how people refer to things. I think it's just a point of reference, right? We refer to it as a secular calendar, meaning that it's not the Jewish calendar. But I wouldn't, you know, read too much into whether people say secular or religious, you know. Yeah, but it's a good point. Okay, yeah, yes, David.
I don't want to create a problem, but didn't the calendar change from the Gregorian to the Julian?
From the Julian to the Gregorian.
To the Gregorian, I mean.
Yes.
So even then the dates were different.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Yeah, so again, no one is necessarily... the way we opened up was that if the history of all of this is just totally wrong, that there was some sort of a distortion of a date at some point, then the whole point is it's not a question, right? Everything goes out the window, right? It's all a worthless conversation. This whole conversation of saying it's permissible, it's prohibited or permissible, is based on the fact that we assume on some level that it might be correct, and if it's correct, then how do we justify it? But yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. You see, even whether it's correct or not, there's a Masoret. Like we have midrashim and traditions and things like that. So a lot of the Christians, their Masoret is
so many
years after Jesus. So
right.
They may have got it wrong. Maybe the scholars will say, oh, it's minus 2 years or
right.
plus 4 years.
Right.
But the average Christian in the street doesn't know that it's that many years after.
Right.
It doesn't really, but it's Masoret.
Right, so it's an interesting point. So I think that's really where the question comes at. If you can, it seems pretty clear that, at least according to many, that the dating to the year is probably incorrect. But for sure, their Masorah is that it's not incorrect, that it's exactly the amount of years, and if that's the case, then that's what this whole question is based off of. Assuming that, again, we wouldn't necessarily care about the Masorah, right? If we proved unequivocally that for sure the scholars are right, that for sure he was born 4 years earlier, then it probably is not so much of an issue. But this whole question is assuming that it is correct on some level. Okay, good. So there are two... other explanations as to what might make this permissible, right? So again, we have the Tzitz Eliezer who says that it's permitted as long as you don't say AD, right? Or what's the other one? What's before?
BC.
No.
BC.
BC or AD, then it would be permissible if you don't use those. So there are two other possible perspectives. One is the Hagos Maimonios. Take a look at source number 8. He says as follows, the only prohibition is when you use a name that was given that deifies the person or object, but the common name, like the name that any regular idol worshiper might just have, even though that person might be made into a god, since there is no godliness connotation, it is permitted. So what the Hagos Maimonides is referring to over here is, let's say I have something that has no religious significance whatsoever, would that be permitted if that person is then deified? So if any of you have been like gasping, like how can a rabbi say Jesus so many times? Yeah. So in theory, saying the word Jesus is no issue whatsoever, because Jesus is not, it doesn't mean anything. It's just, that was the guy's name. The guy's name was Jesus, for crying out loud. Why can't I use the name that was on his birth certificate? However, what would be the problematic, and what I have avoided saying, is right, saying the second name, right? And the reason why, does anyone know what C-H-R-I-S-T? Anyone know what that actually means? Right. Okay. Good. It comes from the it comes from the Greek word Christos. Right. So, yeah. It comes from the Greek word Christos, which means like our Savior, our anointed one. And that's a real issue to say Jesus, our anointed one. I would not recommend saying that. That is not a good idea. But saying Jesus itself seemingly has no issue whatsoever. So from that we can possibly infer, as some people do, to say that Jesus, when he was born, he wasn't a deity. He was just some regular Jewish boy named Jesus. It would be the same thing as when Yaakov was born. So when Jesus was born, I'm going to then, let's say, have a calendar based off of the fact that he was born 2019 years ago. Okay, so great. So he was born 2019 years ago. Oh, maybe a few years after that, he became some sort of a fancy deity in the Christian world. But in our minds, as far as history is concerned, he had no godliness in him when he was born. He was just a regular Jew. Later also, we don't believe that he had any godliness. But for sure, everyone agrees that when he was first born, he was just some regular Joshmo named Jesus. So if we want to have a calendar based on some random Joshmo's birthday, so then, okay, a little bit weird. Why are we so obsessed with Joshmo? But we are. And so therefore, having a calendar based off of his birthday has no religious significance and therefore should not mean anything to us. So that would be one perspective that we can have. Source number 9. The Otzer Yisrael, just an encyclopedia of sorts that we have, brings up a historical argument that we've been bringing up this entire time. It says as follows: Jesus was born 2 years before the count of years that we currently have. Alternatively, he might have been born as early as 4 years before the count of years as we have him. And from here, you can bring a proof that the count of years that the Christians use is not really based on the count of Jesus' life. So therefore, according to this perspective, we have three possible reasons why it would be permissible to use why it would not be an issue to use the secular calendar. One, as long as you don't reference the fact that as long as you don't say AD or BC, then it would seemingly be no issue. Or the fact that there was religious significance in his birth, so the fact that we want to reference that, great, you know, power to us, but there's no issue with that. Or just to say that his historicity is wrong, the count is wrong, he was actually born 2023 years ago, so therefore it shouldn't make a difference to us if we want to say 2019, and there should be no issue with that. So up until now, we have no issues, we're great, and now it's permissible to use the secular calendar. However, there is another potential issue. What's the other potential issue that comes up? Forgetting about Avodah Zarah or anything like that.
Doing things like the
good. Thank you, Stan. So someone else, someone else brought it up before as well, that using a secular calendar, forgetting about any idol worship issues or things like that, we just don't like to do things that the non-Jewish people do. Yeah, is that?
We use non-Jewish money.
Oh, okay. Okay, good, good. There's obviously a justification for it. The number one question you have to ask, whenever we have something that is intrinsically not Jewish, then we have to ask if it's actually permissible to use in the for Jewish people. So there's a famous machlokas between the Ramah and the Gras. The Ramah writes as follows: what is chukas agoyim? How would you define the statues that the non-Jewish people use? It says, we should be separated from them in our dress and in our actions, and all of this is not forbidden unless it is something that the akum, right, the non-Jewish people, do for pritzus, for illicit reasons. Like when they wear red clothes, not for a discussion right now, but it's, yeah, let's not talk about that now. Or when they do something and there is no reasoning behind it, because you have to be suspect that it is hocus pocus, right? That's my way of saying darche amori, for those of you who know what that means. But hocus pocus, but something that has a reasoning or purpose, like when an established doctor has a set piece of clothing to wear to show that he or she is a doctor, then it is permitted to wear this outfit. And if it is done for honor or some other reason, then it is permitted. So the only two reasons why something would be forbidden because of chukas agoyim would be either A, because of preaches, because it looks like it's something not appropriate, or B, because if it's somehow related to some sort of a darchei amori, it's being done for no reason whatsoever, right? For example, let's say the non-Jewish custom was to hop on your foot every third Wednesday of the month, so that would be totally forbidden to do because that's some sort of a weird superstition that we as Jews don't believe in that. The calendar, or money, or many things that we use, that we make use of that are not intrinsically Jewish things, are permitted in general because they have a reason, right? Why do we use money? Because you need to use the money. Why do we use the calendar? Because just to function in the world, as Maury brought up, the only way you can function in the world is using the calendar. Are we ascribing significance to this? No. Do we believe there is a reasoning behind it? Yes, the reasoning behind it is just to get around in the culture. We have to be able to use this date. So therefore, it would be seemingly permissible, according to the Ramah, to use the secular calendar. Yeah, Aaron.
So mayonnaise is in or out?
That's up for vote. That's up for vote. Yes, Dan.
Why do some sects of Hasidim dress like the Polish nobility from the 1718?
So it's seemingly based on just what we read. You're allowed to wear certain clothes that are worn for honor, right? So in their culture, right?
Why would we honor them if they were to win some?
It's not that we're honoring them. It's more that, for example, again, not a discussion for now, but why don't we wear hats nowadays? Most people in our shul don't wear hats? Right? The Mishnah Berurah says you have to wear a double covering.
Yes.
A larger discussion for another time. But in general, we don't wear the hats anymore because it's just not something seen as a special honoring type of beged. Why do people wear them? Well, because back in the day they were a beged of honor. So even though nowadays they're not, back in the day they were. So therefore, people wear them in a religious context. So the same thing with some Hasidim, if they're dressing like the ancient European, the old Europeans used to dress like the non-Jewish Europeans. Well, again, for us nowadays it doesn't have much significance, but their traditions show that it does have significance. And therefore, like the Ramah said, if you're doing it for an honor, how you address for honor, and seemingly it would be totally permissible to do that.
So maybe back to your point, Dan, when they started Hasidus, maybe everybody dressed that way. It wasn't specifically for the nobles.
Yes, seemingly.
They wore that and they've continued.
Exactly. Okay, so let's take a look at source number 11. Source number 11 is the Gra, who disagrees with the Ramah, who the Ramah was quoting the Maharik. So the Gra disagrees with the Maharik over here. He says as follows: I already have written that the words of the Maharik do not appear to fit with the Gemara, that seems to prohibit things that the other nations do, even when there are reasons to do them. Rather, it seems that the prohibition is to learn from them. Anything that we did without them is permitted, like wearing a piece of clothing that we wear. It is forbidden to wear a piece of clothing that is specific to the other nations. So the Gra does take Chukas HaGoyim to a very far extent. Again, I would say that for the most part, we probably don't paskin like this, otherwise we'd be in trouble in a lot of ways. But the Gra says that as long as they're doing something, then it would be forbidden to follow them. So if they wear, if the doctors wear a certain piece of clothing, so we cannot wear those clothing. If we were doing that before, then it would seemingly be okay. But in any which way that we're going to quote unquote follow the goyim, that would be a big issue. So again, we generally don't possibly like the Gra in this situation. At least I would hope not, because no one seems to follow it. But the Ramah seems to be the major leniency over here that we all seem to follow. Now there are those, because of this Gra seemingly, who say that you can't use the calendar. There is, I think it's the majority of people don't say this, but some people would say, no, you actually cannot use the secular calendar because of the fact that you're just doing something that non-Jews do, and we do not do that. However, take a look at source number 12. It's Rav Avadya Yosef in his Shu'at Yabia Omer. He says, nevertheless, since a person's intention when they write the date is only to write the date that is well known, there is no prohibition of Chukas Akum. He says that there is no issue with Chukas Akum for a calendar because at the end of the day, my writing of the date is not because I want to be like the non-Jews. It's because I just need to get around in the world. And therefore, there is no issue with this whatsoever. So that all taught us that there is no prohibition in using the secular calendar. But the real question now is that can we use the secular calendar knowing that we're essentially giving a slap in the face to our own Jewish calendar? So take a look at source number 13. It's the Chassam Sofer quoting the Ramban. So we have the famous mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, right, that we are commanded to sanctify the month. It's the first commandment that the Jewish nation received as a whole. And he writes as follows: HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. Ramban writes that there are no specific names in the Torah, only numbers, Rishon, Sheni, etc., in order to be a reminder of the Exodus from Egypt. So what he says is that the Ramban very interestingly says is that when the Torah mentions the months, it doesn't say Nisan, it doesn't say Tishrei. What does it say? It says this is Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh HaSheni. Why does it say that? Says the Ramban, a fascinating idea, because when we count the month, we're meant to count as a reminder for the fact that we were taken out of Egypt. So many mitzvot that we have are given to us so that we could remember that we were taken out of Egypt, right? At Kiddush, we say, Zecher Liyetzias Mitzrayim, it's a reminder for being taken out of Egypt. So too, says the Ramban, that's what the Jewish calendar is. The Chodesh HaRishon is Nisan, according to the Torah. So every single time we count a month, we're saying, oh, it's 7 months since the historical exodus from Egypt. So says the Ramban, that's the significance of the Jewish calendar. And he writes, the Chassam Sofer then writes further, the days of the week are similar in reference to Shabbos, right? Just this morning we said, Hayom Yom Shlishi Shabbos, it's 3 days of the week. Coming up to Shabbos, every week we count up to going to Shabbos. We count each day not with a name, but rather with a number, Yom Rishon, B'Shabbos, etc. The reason why is in order to remind ourselves of Shabbos, and this is a And this is a formal rebuke that when we write these dates or references to the day of the week that we are bearing witness to the creation of the world in 6 days and resting on the seventh, and the exodus from Egypt, and not, God forbid, using the dates of the other nations of the world. So, Chassam Sofer, quoting the Ramban, signally is furious at people who decide to use secular dates. How dare you use a secular date? Not only are you not using the Jewish calendar, but the Jewish calendar is singly, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, it's a Torah commandment to use the Jewish calendar because it's a reminder of the Exodus from Egypt. So how dare anyone decide to use the secular calendar without using the Jewish calendar? What, by the way, would be an implication from this? What can I do?
You can use both.
Good. So we'll see in a moment. I think the Sitz Eliezer says that what do you do? What's the easy solution to all of this? Just use both. Because if you use both, there's no issue with using the secular calendar. You just also have to use the Jewish calendar. Take a look at the Mincha at the Minchas Chinuch and Surah number 14 over here. So it's unclear if there actually is a prohibition, says the Minchas Chinuch. The Ramban writes that it is a mitzvah to count the months from Nisan, even though the beginning of the year with us is Tishrei. Nonetheless, we should count from Nisan, Rishon, in order that we remember the great miracle of the Exodus from Egypt. And he writes that it is also in order to remind ourselves of the redemption that happened in the days of Ezra, because the month names are from Babel. The Inyaku writes that Rabbi Yosef Abu thought that this was changing the mitzvah, and in truth, this was not correct what the Ramban said, because also now is Nisan considered Rishon. But back in the day, they didn't have names for the months, and now they do. And it would seem from the words of the Ramban that he says that it is a mitzvah from the Torah to count, and if you use a different count, you are violating this mitzvah. But if this is true, why did the Rambam not bring this up at all? Right, the Rambam doesn't quote this as one of the mitzvahs, and therefore Tzarachin and Minchas Chinuch says no dice. The Ramban might have believed this, but it's seemingly it's not really based on so much, and therefore we don't have to give so much clout to it. So what's the answer? Can we use the secular calendar? So the answer is yes, you can use the secular calendar, but what about the Jewish calendar? So says the Tzitz Eliezer, we'll just do it outside in source number 16. He says that as long as you're using the Jewish date, seemingly it would be totally permissible. So every single time you write down the non-Jewish date, right? If as long as you say that it's January 1st, but you also say what the Jewish date is, no issue whatsoever. And says Ravaji Yosef again in source number 15. He says that seemingly he quotes a few sources of the Chassam Sofer himself, the Chassam Sofer who just said that it's a mitzvah to use the Jewish calendar and seemingly prohibited to use the secular, or not ideal to use the secular calendar. He himself brings up a couple of sources where the Chassam Sofer used secular dates, seemingly again proving that the secular calendar again is totally permitted to be used, because we justified how it's not such a real issue that it dates back to Jesus, whether it be because you're not saying AD, or because there was no significance of the date of his birth, or because the history itself might be incorrect, so therefore it's permissible to use the secular calendar. However, it does seem to be that ideally we should try to use the Jewish dates as much as possible. And in particular, even if we struggle with using the Jewish dates, let's say, for example, on the documents of the town of Hempstead, we're only going to use the Jewish dates. We're probably not going to write, you know, Adar Adalet beneath, you know, January 1st or whatever it might be. What we should for sure know is when people ask us the question of what the Hebrew date is, we should be able to answer it, because at the end of the day, this is a commandment that was given to us to establish the month, right? Every single month we go outside and we sanctify the new moon, we do Kiddush Levana, we recognize the fact that God wants us to have our own lunar calendar, our own calendar, and the fact that we don't is a sort of slap in the face. So again, it is, can a Jew celebrate New Year's? Party is not for now, but can a Jew use the secular calendar? Yes, but should you ideally be able to know the Jewish date and at least be able to interact with the Jewish calendar in a practical way on every day? The answer is yes to that as well. So God willing, 2019 should be a good year, but just remember that it's also Tavshin Ayin Tet, right? That it's 5779, and we're halfway through that year already, and God willing, the 5779 should continue to be a good year, and we should know all the Hebrew dates, God willing, from here on out.